Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Hola, buenos dias. Broadcasting live from the 17th hole at Ponte Vedra at Sawgrass. Steve Jones along with Jack Ham. Hey, Jack, if I hit the ball in the water, do I get a drop? Okay. We now bring in Kevin Herr, fresh from working the sidelines in high school football.
And making the switch over to basketball the next night. I had a Steve Jones weekend. Football one night and make the switch to basketball.
Have you ever done them on the same day?
I have not done it on the same day, though. I've never done it on the same day. And I did not once call it a field on Saturday night.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's a step in the right direction. Usually I do it at least once.
Here's the rundown for today.
Oh, okay, good. You got the rundown. I'm excited.
Okay, Nathan Davis at 3:35. Okay. Topics. Tax Slayer Bowl matchup. Recap of Championship Saturday. Do you like the top four pick for the national championship? Who was left out, if any, and why? Are the Pirates looking to trade McClendon? It's a lot of payroll. That one confuses me.
Well, he's set to make a hunk of change next year, and they're not going to be able to trade him next year because of that contract.
No, you keep him. Oh, you mean Melanson? Oh, it's not. It's not. Okay, I thought you meant McCutchen.
Oh,
Melanson.
Yeah.
I trade him. They tendered him, which is fine, but I trade him.
Yeah, I mean there's an opportunity there to get something for him before you have to pay $10 million in arbitration.
Yeah, but it's more than that. You know, these guys all have a shelf life. You know that? And I hate to refer to guys as having a shelf life, but he's got a shelf life. They all do. All relief pitchers outside of Mariano Rivera have a shelf life.
And is their bullpen deep enough to handle it if they don't?
I think they just lost Soria, didn't they? They just lost Soria.
Yes, they lost Soria. Madsen signed.
Yeah.
Mark Lowe signed.
There you go. Yeah, but Soria had been with the Pirates. That's what I mean.
Oh, no, I was just going through the guys that have signed that were relievers recently.
And Michigan State, number one in the basketball poll. Who can give them trouble in the Big Ten? Well, I'm going to see them on the 30th of this month.
Yes, you will.
Maryland. Maryland's really good. So is Michigan State. They're both really, really good. Maryland is really, really good. Very impressive. So, yes, they're the ones who can give them a lot of trouble.
Well, if you I was looking at the schedule. If you have a conflict on January 2nd because of a basketball game, I'd be more than happy to make the trip for you to Florida.
It's already been determined what game I'm doing.
I kind of figured, but I wanted to make the offer in case there was a possibility.
It's already been determined. You're out. Eh, we'll take a break.
At least I got consideration.
No. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Tax Slayer Bowl will be January 2nd. It's going to be a noon kickoff with a 10:30 airtime. The matchup, in fact, I was talking to Jack Ham right before I went on the air, and the two of us feel that matchup-wise against a name opponent, this was as well as I could do in this thing. I think they ended up doing really well with it in terms of the matchup. Georgia can run the football. I know Nick Chubb is out. Sonny Michel, though, is very, very good. He still ran for over 1,100 yards himself. It's good offensive line. Quarterback is okay, not great, not awesome, incredible. He's okay, but that's where it goes. He's okay. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes, but Grayson Lambert doesn't win a lot of games for you, but he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Their defense is very good against the pass. Very good against the pass. And not only that, in terms of getting the quarterback, they had 21 sacks, but they put enough pressure on you. And then the punt return game is outstanding. But I think it's a good matchup for Penn State. It's a good matchup for Penn State. It's going to be a noon start. The Georgia fans are very used to being there for games because of the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, which you're not allowed to call it that anymore. But then again, there will be some announcer they'll refer to as the Gator Bowl anyway, and that will be me.
Is that because TaxSlayer hasn't offered any substantial need?
They want to hand me something. I'll start calling it by what they want.
Yes, yes, and it's not free access to TaxSlayer.com either.
No, don't care about that. So it's good. I think it works out well. I have a busy holiday now. Very busy holiday.
By the way, the new question on the website is: are you going to the Tax Slayer Bowl?
I think a lot of people are going to go because Penn State hasn't played down in Florida, and it's not a difficult trip to make. So Penn State hasn't played in Florida in 5 years, and it's not a difficult trip to make. So I think, yeah, there will be a lot of people going. Wouldn't be surprised.
Trying to see what the typical forecast is for Jacksonville in January.
70 to 75 degrees and sunny.
Really? That warm in Jacksonville?
Yes.
I was thinking it would be a little cooler than that.
It's not in the outskirts of...
Actually, the forecast right now, according to AccuWeather for January 2nd, is clouds and 71. The historical average high, 64.
Well, I said 70 to 75. will be just fine.
Listen, I'd take 67 in January, quite honestly.
Yeah, so that's what it's going to be. It'll be after the now, I know you won't watch, so I understand that because it's second game, and it's after the major bowl games. I understand that.
No, this one is, I told you before, you said, what if Penn State were in the game, were in a January 2nd game, and I said I would make an exception for that.
Oh, okay. So your philosophy is not hard and fast.
My respect for my friends and colleagues at Penn State and my friends that have graduated from Penn State, I am able to waive my no bowl game after January 1st rule.
What about the national championship game?
That's not a bowl game. That's not a bowl game.
Yes, it is.
What's the no? They call it the national championship game, and it just happens to be in what would have been a bowl game. I don't consider that a national I don't consider that a bowl game. I know the sponsor would feel otherwise, but
don't a lot of people at the station kind of look at you as a fraud or
not a fraud?
Hey, your philosophies are interesting.
My philosophies benefit me. That's the philosophy.
Wow. How about that? Well, okay.
What is the when do all the bowl game have all the bowl games been announced?
Yes, every single one.
Okay, because I was looking for a complete list and I didn't find one earlier this morning, but that doesn't mean I wasn't looking in the right place. So I thought maybe there were a few that for some reason haven't been announced yet.
Nope. Nope, it's in.
Because I kept watching on it on ESPN on Sunday, and they kept talking about four games, four teams, and that was it.
What they did was absurd. All right? What they did was absurd as to how they announced this thing. Hours and hours. Now, I didn't bother watching the hours and hours of it because I knew it was going to be hours and hours of it. And I thought, okay, just tell me who the four teams are. Okay, good. All right. You're not going to come back till 4 o'clock to start announcing the other ones. Got it. No problem. So I exited at that point. The only one I was interested in was finding out was the Peach Bowl thing. And I would have to say that we had it exactly right all week long as to how it was going to play out. I mean, all week long, we had it exactly right because we said that if Clemson won the game, that Florida State would get the Peach Bowl and Penn State would get the Tax Slayer Bowl. That's pretty accurate.
And that Clemson game was only in doubt for maybe a half.
Yeah, North Carolina made a comeback at the end. It was kind of a bogus onside kick call. It was kind of, okay, a little bit different. But that was it.
And listen, I must admit, and I sent you a text Saturday night. Now, I only got to see the second half of it because I had a basketball game for the first half. But as I'm watching scores come in, I'm like, okay, this Big Ten championship game is an interesting game now.
That was a great football game. That was a great football game.
Yes. I had to admit, I was not overly interested in the matchup when it happened. But as I was watching the score, in the first half, I did go home and turn it on immediately.
22 plays, 82 yards. 22 plays. Everything, 3, 4, 5 yards. 3, 4, 5 yards. Converted 4 third downs. Converted 2 fourth downs. Wow. It was a great drive. Great drive. I mean, it was just unbelievably great. Yeah, and Iowa doing everything they can to slow them down, keep them out, slow them down, keep. It was really, really good. It was just good football. I think the Big Ten had to be absolutely thrilled with the showcase they put on. And it was a quarterfinal game. It was a game with stakes. And that just really was a great game to watch.
Steve, last
the game
week,
that was the game that was not a great game to watch was the SEC championship.
Yes, it was.
A great game to watch at all. That played out the way we also thought it would play out. That Florida could not score.
Did the Rose Bowl come out the way? Did the Rose Bowl pick Iowa because Fiesta had already had the selection of Ohio State? Is that the way it went this year? With Fiesta had the pick before the Rose Bowl.
I don't know, but I do know that they had to pick one. I think getting Iowa against Stanford actually is a really good game for them.
Well, you had mentioned that the Rose Bowl was interested in possibly Ohio State. And that's when Ohio State went to the Fiesta Bowl, I thought, is that because the Fiesta Bowl got to pick first?
I don't know who got the, I don't know what order anybody picked in. I don't know. They're very mum on who gets to pick when. So I don't know. I don't know who picked in what order. And a lot of this is done by placement now. They're really trying to place teams as much as possible. I think the New Year's Six, I think the committee's the one that puts it together as to who does what. I think the one matchup I look at and say, you know what, I'm not really all that interested in it, but I'll probably watch a little bit of it anyways, Ole Miss against Oklahoma State in the Sugar Bowl. It's up against nothing else.
Yeah, I was going to say, what else is there to watch that night?
Nothing. Nothing. So I'll watch that New Year's night. You know?
I'll be interested to see how these semifinal games in the Cotton Orange actually go ratings-wise on New Year's Eve.
Well, for one thing, out west, as we mentioned, 53% of the country does not live in the east.
That's true.
So with 53% of the country not living in the east and living in all the other time zones, let's take California, for example, in the Pacific time zone, gigantic population. The games there are at 1 o'clock, and the other one starts at 5 o'clock. They'll be over before people even go to a party.
Yeah, we'd look at things from an East Coast mindset, but you're right. As I was watching Fox Sports yesterday from Pearl Harbor, thinking not only are they in a wonderful location to work for Sunday, but also all the games are done, including Sunday Night Football, by what, 5-6 o'clock at night?
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely, and of course this is Pearl Harbor Day, by the way. 74 years. 74 years. But yeah, it's an amazing deal. But those games are, 53% of the country doesn't live in the east. And I know on New Year's Eve, I usually don't do much of it. Well, I mean, this year I'm on the road. I mean, let's face it, the last 16 years, most of the time on New Year's Eve, most of the time, I've been on the road. You know, I've done a couple of Capital One Bowls, an Outback Bowl. I've done a Rose Bowl. You know, you're on the road. And there are a couple of times I've been on the road where I've had basketball. So being home for the holiday, and watching a game on New Year's Eve, like, we'll all be looking for something to do.
Now, we'll
same
both
thing on New Year's night. Because I can tell you right now, Jack and I have already said we're going to sit down. We're going to watch the playoff game. I know you'd like to sit there and watch a playoff game with Jack Hammy. We all know, okay.
Yeah, but that's beside the point. No, I was just wondering, are both of these games on ESPN, or are they going to run those on ABC?
They're both on ESPN.
Because here's why. New Year's Rockin' Eve is a big ratings grab for ABC, and there's a lot of money on that particular broadcast up until about 12 midnight. I was interested.
Kevin, the entire college football playoff is on ESPN. There are no ABC games.
See, I didn't know if they'd run some of them on the big network or not.
No. They're all on ESPN. And New Year's Rockin' Eve, people only tune in from 11:30 on.
That's exactly right.
They watch for a half an hour.
That's exactly right.
Watch for a half an hour. All right, coming up, Nathan Davis on Bucknell Basketball on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Happy holidays from the Purdy family to all of you. The Purdy's have served the Valley for decades because they found the best price and the best insurance for their customers. Every single person to them, not a number. It's very personal to them. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for this day in sports history, December 7th. The swimmer Johnny Weissmuller set a world record in the 150-yard freestyle. He went on to play Tarzan in several movies. I announced it that day. It was very exciting. 1939, Lou Gehrig was elected to Baseball's Hall of Fame, the first player to have the five-year limit waived so he could be elected. 1963, CBS introduced the first-ever instant replay during the Army-Navy football game. And in 1988, the Texas Rangers signed free agent pitcher Nolan Ryan to a one-year contract. Very pleased now to bring in the fine basketball coach at Bucknell, Nathan Davis. Coach, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me again. Hope you had a great weekend.
I hope you had a great weekend as well. Obviously a tough one with NC State, but again, you're out there toe-to-toe with a team from the ACC. What do games such as these do to build you and get you ready for the Patriot League?
Well, I think the first thing it does is whenever you play good people, you have to play well to win, so you understand what kind of effort and concentration it takes. They're also capable of taking away things and planning for you to take things away, so you can kind of find out where your areas you need to work in are. And then you obviously want to win the game, but competing gives your guys, I think, some confidence so they can kind of see where they're going, what they can do, and hopefully can continue to build from there.
It also sees you where they're going and what they're doing and not doing. What did that game against NC State tell you, the coach?
I thought we made great strides at the end of last week. I thought we needed to play with a bigger sense of urgency. Was the big thing I took out of our game with Columbia is that we weren't playing with enough of a sense of urgency, and I thought we did that against Columbia. I thought we did. Against NC State. I thought we did that in the 2 days of practice after that. And so I'm hoping now, and I'm hopeful. And again, yesterday we had a good day again. Also, I'm hopeful that our guys understand the kind of concentration, sense of urgency, attention to detail you need to have on a daily basis, so that carries over from game to game.
All right, you've got tomorrow night, you got Mount St. Mary's coming up. Then you have a break because finals are coming up. Now, a lot of classes, as you and I both know, you'll get professors that will have them do either projects or finals before finals week. How does that affect how you want to handle the basketball part, knowing how you have to handle the academic part?
Well, I think at a place like Bucknell, anywhere, the academics should come first. So we'll play tomorrow, and then we'll take really 2 days off. And then we'll get back in after exams are over on Friday and get a little workout on Friday night, get a chance to practice Saturday and Sunday, take Monday off again with an exam, start up again, do some individual stuff on Tuesday. And then most of our guys are actually done on Wednesday. And so we'll get back in on Wednesday and then again on Thursday to start getting ready for the upcoming games.
Yeah, and once you get through – once it gets to be a basketball-only situation, obviously being basketball-only for a coach is great. But at the same time, it must bring with it a couple of other additional challenges because they're not in a routine.
Yeah, well, you try to keep them, even though you're only doing basketball, you try to keep them in as much of a daily routine as possible. So you can get in, you can obviously you're going to practice, you can get in and watch more film, and do those type of things along with the weight room and stuff to keep them busy. But it certainly is a tremendous opportunity as a team to get better and to bond with each other off the court.
All right, give me an idea about Mount St. Mary's. What's the thumbnail on them?
Well, Coach Christian, Jamie Christian, he was a former Bucknell Director of Operations. When I was here, when he was as the assistant, he was our operations guy. He's done a really good job. They've won the league. He plays. He's a kind of a shock of smart disciple now. He calls it Mount Mayhem, so you'll see a lot of full court pressure trying to turn you over. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. and a lot of the same ball screen stuff. So we'll have a work cut out for us. I mean, they got off to a rough start this year. They played four high major schools right away, and then since then have come back and won a couple games against Loyola and American in our league, obviously pretty good, by 20 points both times. So it'll be a challenge for us.
idealistically, how do you need to attack something like that? I mean, so the fans understand there's always a plan of attack on a base like this. So how do you usually have to attack a team that full courts like that?
Well, I think you got to make them pay. If they're going to press you and you're going to keep pulling it out and not attack them, you don't really give them any reason to stop pressing you. So we want to make sure that we attack with the idea we're going to attack the score. You want to limit your live ball turnovers. They kind of feed off that. If you get a live ball turnover, they can get out and get two-on-ones, three-on-twos, and get easy baskets that way. That hurts you much more than if you're not sure. Just take the violation, and you can at least then set up your defense. So it's finding that balance, which is a lot easier said than done, between, okay, we've got an opportunity to attack here to score because we can get numbers, but we don't want to necessarily just throw it away and give them two or three in a row easy baskets where they can kind of feed off it. So.
Yeah, LBTs kill a team every time. Say, for example, you're trapped in the backcourt. You might actually be more beneficial taking a 10-second violation than an LBT.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's something we emphasized yesterday, and we'll do it again today. We want to get it. Hopefully we can enter it in places where they have a hard time trapping us. But if they trap us, be strong with it. Be smart about it. And if you don't have anything, just eat it.
Are there times, Nathan, based on the – because you have a decent-sized team. Can you beat something like this over the top?
Oh, yes. So I think you have to look. That's the first thing we'll look for, is to try to get it in quickly and then look up the floor and see what we can get before they can set up.
Sometimes
the more you stretch over the top, the easier it gets.
Right, exactly. And sometimes when you get into a situation like this that teams love to press, sometimes they're not great in the half-court set. What kind of half-court sets do you see from Mount St. Mary's?
They do a ton of ball screens, different at place on the floor, different angles, a lot of false motion to get to them and sprint up and get them. So it's going to be our bigs and our guards going to be disciplined, paying attention so they're not late and they're in the right position right away.
All right, for you, player development-wise, do you like how some individuals are developing for you early in this season?
I think so. I think guys, you can see improvements for guys from last year, and I think at times you can see guys doing things even better this year. Not a foul and jumps to mind is a guy, Stephen Brown. All those guys have improved, and a lot of it just comes from, even with those guys, we have so many young guys besides Chris Haas and Dom Hoffman and Ryan Frazier, who've played a lot the last few years. The other guys aren't really in their second year, and they didn't play a lot till the second semester last year. So every time they get on the floor, they see new things, and hopefully they'll grow from it.
Yeah, and are you – yeah. I know there's been some ups and downs, but overall, are you seeing growth?
I think so. I don't think there's any doubt we've gotten better. We're not happy with the record being 3-5 where it is. We certainly had opportunities to be better than that, but you are what your record is, and all we can do is continue to try to get better and give ourselves a chance to win tomorrow night at Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah, what about the ball screen part? You talked about Mount St. Mary's ball screens. Does your team do a good job of fighting through ball screens, high, low, whatever they happen to be?
Well, on Wednesday against Columbia, we did not.
Okay.
We did better with NC. We were better with NC State. So hopefully we'll be better again this weekend. Or this week.
All right. Yeah, exactly right. One last chance before, you're going to have 2 weeks before this. So how important is this to really kind of set a positive tone over the next 2 weeks to win a game like this?
I think, obviously, you want to win every game you can along the way, and any time you win, you start to feel better than when you lose. But win or lose, the picture doesn't change. We still aren't going to be anywhere near where we need to be to win our league, and are going to have to get back into work here once the game's over and continue to move forward.
Yeah. You've got two more chances before the league gets rolling, too, so that's on the horizon. Hey, thanks so much, Coach. Appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you. Hope you have a great week.
You have a great week, too. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. Tomorrow's show is in D.C. Penn State plays George Washington tomorrow. That should be a very tough matchup. Looking forward to that because you want to find out what you have in the tank. As simple as that. You want to find out what is in the tank. And games like that tell you what is in the tank. They have almost everybody back from last year with one exception. And that really is, that's the rundown. That's how it plays out. Watanabe, really good. Garino's had a great year. Larson, the big guy in the middle, has had a great year. Kavanaugh, the transfer from Wake Forest, really good player. And that's what they have. So we'll do the show from D.C. tomorrow. We also have then the return to rec hall games are Thursday and Saturday. Our bozo of the day is a former USC coach. And our play-by-play call of the day is yesterday's eye-popping win by the Eagles over the Patriots. What an incredible win. I was listening to Merrill and Mike yesterday, and you could tell the unexpected thrill of walking into Foxborough and winning the darn thing. What a great win for the Eagles yesterday. That was tremendous. Then Antonio Brown, I mean, you know, the question has to be about him is whether he's really just a front runner. If he's a front runner, he's a great front runner. You get him in a situation where he can have some big games. You know, my question about him is when they actually needed him, Vic Landry Jones, he was nowhere to be found. Then he matched him up against Richard Sherman last week and got crushed. Get him in a front-running game like the Raiders and last night's game. Yeah, he's racking up all sorts of stats, and Steeler fans are just hugging each other left and right about how great he is.
Well, the beauty of it is, though, they have so many quality receivers now that they can't. That
beauty
teams
of what
can't
is,
afford.
You're not in the playoffs. You're not in the playoffs. So you better find more beauty. I can tell you that.
Well, listen, the offense is not the issue with Pittsburgh. It's period. The offense isn't the problem.
In some games it was.
Overall, I think the defense is more of an issue.
Well, the defense is an issue, but in some games this year, the offense didn't play well.
I will agree with you, though. I thought Seattle and Sherman did a great job of shutting him down. I totally agree with that. Well, they still scored 30 points.
Well, no, because Ben Roethlisberger had an awesome game. He's the best player on that football team by far. And the other receivers were tremendous. He said, hey, look, he doesn't have it today, which is fine. You know, I don't blame him.
And that's the good thing about this team. You have other guys that can pick up the slack.
Yeah, okay, but no offense, but what good is it doing you right now except hanging in there?
Well, you look at the recent losses. Seattle is a game that you really needed. You lose it by 9. The Bengals game absolutely needed that game. You lost it by 6. The Chiefs game, I don't know what was going on in that game, but that was one of them that Ben didn't play. Is that
doesn't matter. Right now, you're not in the playoffs, okay? You got 4 games left. You are not in.
Actually, I thought they were with last night's win.
No, 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 no. Cincinnati's the number 1 seed.
Right.
Denver's the number 2 seed.
Right.
New England's now the number 3 seed. Then after that, it's Indianapolis, Kansas City, and
Kansas
the Jets.
City. Yeah, that's what I said. That Kansas City game is the one that's going to really, really hurt.
Kansas City right now wins the tiebreak over the Jets and the Steelers based on best win percentage in conference games. The Jets win the tiebreak over the Steelers based on the best win percentage in conference games. The Chiefs are 6-2 in the conference. The Jets are 5-4. The Steelers are 4-4.
Still on the schedule yet, the Bengals, the Broncos, the Ravens, and the Browns. So at least there's one guaranteed win there.
Yeah, probably 2. I mean,
the Ravens are in trouble. Yeah, the Ravens are in real trouble.
And right now it's Carolina, Arizona, top 2 seeds in the NFC, Green Bay's 3. Washington is the NFC East leader. They are 4. The Vikings are 5, and Seattle is a dangerous 6. Seattle's but they'd have to do everything on the road, though. They could not be at home to do this. They have 4 games left.
What's your thought on the Carolina Panthers? They've already clinched a playoff spot. I know they're 12-0. I know they're 12-0. Are they really good?
Yeah, I think they're really good. Their two linebackers, Davis and Kuechly, are outstanding.
If you
and Norman is an absolute shutdown corner. Then you go to offense. Stewart's just a really good running back. Newton is just a fabulous player, and I think their offensive line is really good.
Carolina and Arizona head-to-head.
Well, they went head-to-head last year in the playoffs. As a matter of fact, if you recall correctly.
I didn't, but I'll take your word for it.
It's just shameful. Game was the first ESPN's first ever playoff game.
Arizona has scored more points and defensively held teams to fewer points than the Carolina Panthers.
Well, Arizona, I love their secondary. Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu, just tremendous. Get a lot of pressure off the edge. Carson Palmer's had a huge year. And Larry Fitzgerald has been rejuvenated. He was already the best blocking wide receiver in the NFL to begin with. And now he's back to being one of the top two or three receiving threats out there to go with Golden Tate. And I would think, to me, going to a game like that, I think it would be a great game, and I think it would be Arizona that would win.
I believe the last loss Arizona suffered was that the Pittsburgh game, or did they lose one since then?
No, they lost the Steelers game.
Yeah, I thought that's what the last loss.
There are a couple games in the Steelers schedule where you sit back and go, how'd they lose that? And then there's one where how'd they win that? I have no idea. I have no idea how they beat Arizona.
I completely agree with you there.
Arizona should have beaten that crew by three touchdowns.
Now, we're working on Brandon Gowton from BleedingGreenNation.com on the other side of the state with the Eagles. You know what? If you're trying to make money on the Eagles, you don't know which team's going to show up. You can't pick that game.
No, you can't pick that game. And the Eagles are 5-7. They're a game back of the Redskins. And they can win the division. The Giants, to me, are mentally out of it. You have a chance to go up 10 points. What are you going for it there? No idea what the thought process was on that. Tom Coughlin's a great coach. I mean, the difference between Tom Coughlin, Jay Gruden, Jason Garrett, and Chip Kelly is that Tom Coughlin has two more Super Bowl wins than they do. Oh, that's right. The other three have none. And he has more playoff wins than they do. But that was rather inexplicable yesterday.
Now, how do you look at this if you're the Giants management? Is this a Tom Coughlin issue? Is this a player personnel issue?
Oh, it's a player personnel issue.
Is this a combination of the two?
Now, the reason the Giants lose, they lose for two reasons. One, their defense is not very good, especially at linebacker. And number three, their offensive line is kind of a patchwork deal. I mean, that's really what it comes down to them with them. They don't really have a major league running back in there, but that's the issue with the Giants. Kirk Cousins has done really well with the Redskins. They're in first place. They're the team to chase.
You mentioned the Colts in the AFC South. Losing last night puts them in first place yet in the South, tied, though, with Houston.
But Houston right now, they have the tiebreaker on Houston. And Houston right now, after losing to Buffalo yesterday, is on the outside looking into the playoffs.
But Houston may have a shot because they still have to play Indianapolis in Week 15.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So, I mean, Houston's not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. But your crew's on the outside looking in. Everybody else in front of them keeps winning. You aren't winning.
I'm not worried. That amazes you, doesn't it? I'm always worried.
I'm trying. Not all that concerned.
I'm not worried. Still plenty of season to go yet.
Yeah. The Jets have the Titans, the Cowboys, the Patriots, and the Bills.